Welcome to Diving Into Writing with me, Lucinda Pebray and Marielle Smith. Join us as we dive beyond the surface of our writing practice. Hi, Marielle.
Hey, Lou.
How are you?
Half asleep. How are you?
Yeah, the same. It doesn't bode well for a lively podcast.
Oh, this week. Oh.
How's it going this week?
I'm so tired. I skipped my morning writing session this morning. I broke my streak.
Did you stay in bed?
Yes, and that is because I gave a workshop yesterday, which caused me lots of anxiety and panic attacks over the past couple of weeks. And I couldn't fall asleep immediately because my brain was still worrying about all the things I could have done better, even though I think, generally speaking, the workshop was a success. You know, my brain likes to zoom in on all the things I could have done better.
Naughty brain.
Yes, yes. Same old, same old. And then I just decided, you know what? I'm not going to have the brain anyway to write. So I'm just going to sort of schedule my writing in the weekend, like just, you know, catch up in the weekend and try to sleep some more. That didn't really go well. But I started another routine as well. So that's just what I did first thing in the morning. I started doing yoga again every morning.
Yay! I've been doing yoga every day, not in the morning though, this year.
Yes, and after hearing that from you and hearing how you thought I was giving you more energy, yes. I think that myth's busted now. Well, I thought, let's try that too.
No, I'm not sure. I think that the yoga is giving me energy and a focus. It's just that the day job is sucking it out of me.
That's just as soon thing. As you start.
Yes, that's the thing.
Yeah, so I'm really glad. And my partner is keeping me accountable, kind of. Not really, but like I don't really need an accountability partner mostly. I am a great accountability partner for other people, but I'm quite disciplined. So it has been really great. I'm learning that I really dropped the ball when it came to yoga, because even the slightest kind of practice makes me sore all over. But yeah, I'm glad I'm doing it again, because I was not feeling grounded. Yeah. At all. And I kind of feel that I'm slowly coming back. So my plan is basically to write first thing in the morning and then do my do yoga and whatever morning ritual I'm doing. So sometimes that's Reiki. And not be as strict, because I like to be in the office, and with office I mean like the desk in my bedroom, at 9 o'clock. And I've decided to cut myself some slack there, because I think I should prioritize. Now I can, because like my schedule is nice and full with paid work, but it's not crazy. Like it's exactly the amount that I want to be doing. So I actually have the time to start a little later in the morning. So now I start like 9:15 or even 9:30. But that means that I, you know, first do my writing, then I do my yoga and whatever else I need to do. I make my breakfast and then I go to work, instead of like being in the middle of my morning practice and then looking at the clock because it's almost 9, which I don't think is invites Zen into my day. So I kind of try to be nicer to myself there, just give myself a bit more grace there.
Well, I've been doing yoga when I finish work. So that mark between, you know, working and home life, you know, because still working from home when I'm not visiting. So,
yeah,
you haven't got that return from the office. So you need something to tell your brain this is now.
my time. So
that sounds like a transition.
Well. Yes, yeah, and that works well.
That's good. Because I'm afraid, like, this is why I do all these things in the morning, because I'm learning something I've learned about myself. Just, you know, I think I kind of knew that, but it's become more obvious over the past year, is that if I don't do it first thing in the morning, it's just not happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, or it's rarely happening, right? Because other things show up and there's always so much to be done, and there's... Yes, I'm really excited that you get to do it, especially because you are not making the actual physical transition
from, yes,
like, work to home. So I'm really glad that you're keeping up with this.
Yes. Well, the thing is, I would normally have to kind of get in the van and drive from... My office is only actually 2 miles away, but I'd very rarely finish in the office anyway. I'd be at someone's house or at one of the projects. So I'd still have that commute. So if I haven't got that because I've done it earlier in work time, actually, then it's better because you can use that time for something else if you choose to. And that's what I'm doing anyway.
Yeah. And how about your writing?
Planning, you mean? My planning.
That is writing. Everything is writing.
Yes.
Every phase is writing.
Yes. I'm chipping at it. I haven't actually got the pressure either of a deadline or anything. So, yeah, chipping. But I'm doing it every day. It's just some days, not a lot.
Do you want me to talk to Amy about giving you a deadline?
No, because Amy doesn't need the pressure.
You mean you don't need the pressure?
Yeah, I'm quite enjoying not having the pressure.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah. And that's like, I keep having that, right? I was thinking about that earlier this week, is that I have these moments that I do feel pressure, and it's usually something somebody says.
Yeah.
And for me, it takes out all the fun and all the joy of the work. And I'm like, why am I putting this pressure on myself? I'm the one writing this book.
Yes, that's it.
And it's not. I think it's different. Like, if you have nothing else going on, right? If all you need to do is write this book, like, or if that's like your, if you have so much time for that, yes, then maybe you need to put some pressure on yourself, because it's really easy to find other things to do.
Yeah.
But for me, it's like, it's almost impossible to find time. So just having my morning, that's just fine for me, right? Because there is no way, if I want to sort of like cling to my sanity, which, I mean, it's hard enough as it is right now, to add more hours to my fiction writing schedule. So it's fine.
Yeah.
But yes, it's usually other people who make me feel like I should be writing faster.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, yeah. And sometimes that's you, actually.
Is it? Really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But I think that's just because it takes very little for that thing in me, that insecurity in me, to be triggered.
Yeah.
So I think it could be anything anybody says, and I'm like, and then no, this is just how this particular project is developing. Because it's not the same for other projects.
No. And I suppose sometimes it's good to be to feel motivated by someone else or by a conversation.
Yeah.
As well as it being a responsibility.
Yeah, and I think that the line can be really thin, right? Like, when does feeling driven, like externally driven, when does it become no longer, I don't know how to, like, when does it become problematic or actually counterproductive?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that is a line that we're all sort of like, it's more like a tightrope maybe.
Yeah. When you end up on medication.
Yeah, that I think you've crossed it by then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's at the moment, it's the day job that's more pressure than I need.
Because I've been working with clients who are like, I need your help figuring out how to make the most of my writing because I need to leave this job or I want to leave this job. And then I ask them, okay, so when do you want to leave this job? And then they're like, I never thought about it like that, because they have this sort of sense, like if you want to be a full-time writer, you know, this is that should be your focus. So they're really focused on, you know, getting rid of that job. And I'm like, okay, so do you hate this job? Like, are there other options? Like, could you maybe work 80% or then 60%? And then, you know, and then they're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Never thought about it like that. And I'm like, well, it depends on what you want to focus on.
Yes.
Yeah. So for me currently, I'm taking it really slow because I know you know that, like I have this sort of slight tendency to push myself, and slowing down is really hard for me. And I'm trying to practice what I preach and actually slow down.
Yeah.
So it's a struggle also because sometimes I'm not aware about how many things I'm already doing. So I'm like, how am I still doing so many hours of work when I've scratched all these projects, or not scratched them, but like, you know, push them into the future. And then so that's my first realization. Then my second realization is, wait, I'm really doing a lot of stuff.
I think the other thing is, you wouldn't really want it any, well, I wouldn't want it any other way. I wouldn't want to be bored or have...
Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
No, but I think there's a line between not wanting to be bored and being a workaholic.
Yeah.
And I cross that line, like, consistently.
Yeah, and you know you do.
Yeah, I know I do. So I'm trying to actively change that right now. Which is hard, but I find that my also just for my mental health, right? Like, that's why I'm like, I love yoga, right? I call myself a yogi.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't really do that because how often am I on that bloody mat? Maybe once a week, right?
Yeah.
For a few poses. That's not, no. And then it just hit me that, okay, if I was able last year to prioritize my writing and do it in the morning, maybe then this year is the step that I incorporate that other practice that I love so much back into my life, like consistently. Because I was doing much better when I was doing yoga consistently, like went to classes like three times a week. I was feeling so much better generally.
It has quite a profound impact on me, which is why I get very frustrated with myself when I let the practice slip. And it is for want of fitting it into my life or into a routine. At the moment, it's a habit. So even today, when I didn't have time to do it, I did it between finishing work and before I logged on with you, because it would have been easy to think, oh, I'll do it after, but then I'm starving by the time I've finished, and then I'll have eaten, so I won't want to do yoga, and then I'll have missed it, and then it becomes easier to miss tomorrow's, and so
that's where I am. And and that's really because you said that last week. I was like, yeah, maybe I should just actually do the effort and commit to that, because Yeah, I think that'll be good for me. And the thing is, I mean, I honestly believe this, and this is the great thing. Like, this is what I tell everybody, right? Is that if you have those kind of practices that are really good for your well-being, then like your creativity will also flow better. You're more in touch with what you want to be writing. So yeah, it's like a win-win situation, but it's so hard to keep doing the thing. Like, it's so easy to keep up with bad habits, right?
Yeah.
So hard to implement the right ones.
Yes. But once you've got them implemented, you need to cling to them.
That's the thing. It's like, I think this is when we are like, oh yeah, I've got this. This is when you sort of start slacking, right?
Yes.
And then before you know it, a year's gone by and you're like, where's that yoga mat? Where did I leave that last year? Whatever. It could be your novel. Yeah.
Well, what we're talking about does link quite nicely into what we're going to be talking about today.
Yes. Yes, actually, because we're still talking about self-sabotage. So like I was self-sabotaging my mental health. I think I'm really good at that. But yeah, we're still talking about self-sabotage. And today we want to talk about, this quote by Nora Roberts that's in, 52 Weeks of Writing 2. For those who have a copy, it's the quote from week 22. And there's a writing prompt that goes with it, and we want to discuss that a little bit today. So do you want me to read the quote?
I don't mind. I'll read it if you want.
Do you have it in front of you?
I do.
Okay, well, you go ahead.
Okay. So a writer never finds the time to write. A writer makes it. If you don't have the drive, the discipline, and the desire, then you can have all the talent in the world and you aren't going to finish a book. I do believe that.
I absolutely believe that, yeah. I also believe that it's great to have talent. So there are some people, who say talent doesn't matter, all that matters is discipline. But I do think some people have a talent for writing and others have to work harder at it.
Yeah.
Some people just have a way with words that some, I don't know, that, yeah.
Or they tap into that subconscious, unique aspect that we were talking about in the last episode.
Exactly, yes. But yeah, if I do believe it's like, what, 90% discipline?
Yeah.
Because you can have amazing thoughts and ideas, but if you don't sit yourself down and actually write them down, yeah, that like talent means nothing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I really love this quote. And for me, it's now. So I did this last year with my fiction writing, like prioritizing it in the morning, because that I used to do it in the evenings, and then you know when I was tired, I wasn't doing it, and before you know it, you haven't done it. Like you have with your yoga. So I am now at the point like, okay, so the writing is solid.
Yeah.
What else do I want to incorporate? I want to have my yoga back because that actually makes me a better writer.
And it's so really good for your health as well.
Yeah, but I think that's what makes me a better writer as well. Because if all of that is in balance, right?
Yeah.
The rest, yeah. I do believe, I was talking about that earlier this week, that with somebody that I have quite a holistic approach to writing. And I think that fits in really nicely. For me, it's not a separate thing.
Yeah.
If I feel good, that is going to affect my writing as well. So the prompt for this week that we want to talk about today is especially about the last thing that Nora Roberts said, is the finishing aspects. And let me take a sip before I start coughing. Because we're talking self-sabotage.
You can't cough because that could be COVID.
No. I took a test yesterday before the workshop.
Mm. Yeah, but is it a 100% accurate test?
Well, first of all, none of them are.
Exactly.
Second of all, I don't know. Okay, I'm switching back to the topic.
Yeah, stick to it.
Okay, so yeah, definitely, because when we talk about self-sabotage, I've had so many clients who like come to me and they say, I have like 100 manuscripts lying around, or not even necessarily manuscripts, it's just 100 different notebooks with different stories, and I just cannot finish them, right? So I specifically wanted to talk about this inability to finish project. So the writing prompt that I matched with this quote is, what is it that makes you finish a writing project? Look at some of your old projects, both finished, if you have those, and unfinished ones. For each of them, muse on the process. What happened from the initial spark to where you finalized it or stopped working on it? And what does this tell you about your reasons to finish or quit a project?
Yes.
And this kind of, actually, now I'm reading this, it kind of leads back to the point I made earlier, because you're like, I'm not writing, I'm planning. And I'm like, it's all part of the writing process. Yeah, like, yeah. I think a lot of frustration that I see online and also like in my Facebook group and also with my clients is that people are like, I can't stand it. I'm not writing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, if writing for you means writing new words, like that is actually a very small process of like putting a book out.
I know. And the thing is, the planning bit, that's my issue. The planning bit doesn't feel like writing to me. I just want to get on writing. Yeah, but I totally agree with you. It's just, it's not the bit that I enjoy. And the bit that is, this is like a catch-22 situation. It's not the bit that I enjoy because I don't feel like I'm writing, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So but is it a catch-22 because you're reluctant, so it slows you down? Which,
if I saw it
from writing.
Well, if I saw it that I was writing, if I felt the same way I do about writing when I'm planning, then I'd be eager to do the planning and I wouldn't be trying to avoid it. So that then I'd be able to get on to the next stage. If you see I mean.
I do, like at one point I want to have like an in-depth session with you on this because... but just because I love the planning, I love outlining. That just makes me all giddy and like really excited. And that's when like my inspiration is just like I don't know, bursting out of me. And so I'm always kind of, and I do know like it's planning is just not for everybody, right? Mm. Some people's brains are just not wired for that. That's okay, right? You just have to find a system that works for you. But I'm always so curious about people who don't see outlining as a really exciting part of the creative process. So yeah, we should at one point, normally we talk about self-sabotage because it has nothing to do with that. But at one point, I do want to sort of like dive a little deeper with you and see why we approach this so differently.
It is self-sabotage, though, because it slows me down.
So is this the self-sabotaging? Does that come from not seeing it as proper writing?
It's more a feel than a intellectual bit of the process, if you see what I mean. It's more... So in my heart, it's not writing and I don't feel the same about it that I do when I'm actually literally pen to paper or typing, whichever.
So you have some limiting beliefs around what is being creative.
Yeah, I don't...
Maybe.
I don't know if it's because I started, you know, without just writing into the dark rather than with an outline. And the other thing that I really resent is that I'd spend all this time planning and then whatever I'm working on doesn't follow the plan, which really frustrates me.
Well, but could it mean that just means that you haven't found, because I believe like when you think outline, right, there are people who write these rigid things. Like I know somebody who writes outlines and they're like, let's say in the end, they're like a third of the word count already.
Oh, no, no.
That's
no
how intense
way.
They are. But there's also people who have like a page in the notepad and they just jot down the major plot points and that is their outline, right? There is, it's yeah. a real big sort of like spectrum.
Yeah, but that's me, but I still don't stick to it.
Oh.
It's not detailed, but this time I'm trying to be more detailed and I'm looking because it's the second one in a trilogy, at least a trilogy, then I'm trying to make sure that I know exactly which aspects I need to address. Yeah. So I'm taking my time with it, whereas normally I rush it. So we'll see.
That's good. And do you do it like I do? Like I have like bullet points and then they have different colors depending on which
no.
story thread it connects to.
That terrifies me. That absolutely terrifies me.
I'm just like smiling here because that is just like my sweet spot.
I can see it with all your organized Kanban board your post-it notes. I bet you've got post-it notes on there.
No, it's in Scrivener actually. Okay. So it's all digital.
Yeah, but they've got post-it notes in Scrivener or the equivalent.
Oh yeah no, I don't really use that.
I'm surprised.
Lou, are we just realizing how much of a freak I really am?
Or how different we are?
Or that. Or maybe just that. Like, I think we're all crazy in our own way.
Yes, yeah. So I am trying a different method because I feel like this last book that I wrote particularly, it took me a long time because I didn't recognize the plot and I didn't recognize the threads and I didn't recognize how they were going to come together until they came together. And even okay. then I've had, there were some major plot holes in it that I had to fix. So, and I might still have Amy go, actually, I don't think you can do that. There's science fiction and then there's complete and utter fantasy.
Bollocks, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
It's a project.
I'm trying because this is the thing, right? This particular novel took you much longer than you wanted. So what made you finish it?
The responsibility that I had to finish it. So I wasn't just writing it for myself. I'd made a commitment to someone else to write it. So it had to be finished.
So this is like one of the big perks of co-writing.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I have the same, like when I was co-writing, I was much faster.
Yeah.
Like we published like three novellas in like a year. And that was actually, we could have done it sooner, but I was going through a divorce. And we decided to push the publication date until after the divorce just to not have any legal stuff get mixed up.
Okay. Yeah.
So we could have done it sooner, but we just had to take a break from it.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, it is a big incentive though.
Yeah.
Because I'd be letting someone down. So not just myself. So that's a big incentive.
But that's actually the thing, right? Like, why do we let ourselves down?
Yeah, true.
Yeah, that's a really good question. So how about, because I know that 2021, you're going to write 6 novels, 3 of which were your own work.
Yes.
So how about we talk about those a little bit? Like, why haven't you been working on those? Or why have you, like... Why is the idea there, but why have you not been working on that project?
Okay. So I can only work on one project at a time. I think that's not, I don't think that's my brain. I think that's just the other commitments in my life. So if I was a full-time author, I could possibly work on 2 projects. I think I could work on 2 projects at the same time. But at the moment, I can only work on one project at a time. So that's part of it. And the other thing was I did make a good start. And I can't actually remember how far I got with my own novel. It's just that I put that on hold when I was ready to do this one. So that's part of the problem.
I didn't know you actually started on
There was a period at the beginning of the year where I was waiting on Amy, because whatever I wrote had to fit in with the global story.
Yeah.
And she wasn't there yet. She didn't know where the global story was going. So we needed to have that conversation. So during that period, I was kind of, oh, right, well, I'll just work on my own stuff, which I did, but then I had to drop that. So it's not unfinished. It's just, well, it is unfinished, but it's not dumped. It's just on hold.
So that is more a structural issue, or not necessarily an issue, but just like it's you have a commitment to somebody else, so that becomes a priority.
Yeah, but that's okay, because it was always in my plan to do. To do these 3 books. When those were going to be finished, in my head, I was not going to take this long to finish this book, but it ended up being rather more complicated than the others. I was a lot faster writing the others. But I think this book's better. No one else has read it yet, though, so they might disagree. But for me, it's got a level of complexity that the others haven't. So,
and that takes time.
Yes. Well, this is it. This is it. And because if I'd have planned it out a little bit better, I would have been quicker.
With colour-coded bullet points, you know.
Yeah. So we come back to that.
Yeah, but that is it, because my story is complex and there's so many levels. And even now, as I'm going through the draft again, it is still coming together.
Yeah,
I'm still like revising scenes, and I'm like, this is how I can connect this to this. So it's just another level, right? It's just like I feel like I'm digging deeper and deeper into this story, like almost like this story exists outside of me. So it actually reminds me of how Stephen King describes like the writing process, right? It's like you have this archaeological site, and at the beginning you can sort of like hack away, but as soon as you get closer to the actual findings, right, you have to take out your like your little brush, and you have to be careful, and you just sort of like dig deeper and deeper and deeper and sort of uncover it as you go. I think that's kind of what I'm doing in my current draft, it just things are you know, things just keep coming, getting together, and you're like, you're in this scene, and then you're like, oh wait, like I can connect this back to like 20 scenes back or 20 chapters back, and then it just ties it together.
That's my favorite. It's my favorite bit. That's my favorite bit.
Yes, mine as well. And for me, this is why for me, because I know some people don't like outlining, because they're like, you know, then they're done being creative. But I have an extensive outline.
Yeah, yeah.
But that doesn't mean that I have all those layers, because I have all these points that need to be in the novel, right? At certain points in the novel. But my characters still surprise me by what they're going to say, how they're going to say it, how they're going to react, who they're going to say something to. And then that is how I'm like, oh, and that is how that comes together. It doesn't necessarily mean I know how I'm going to get to that point.
And you're driving and then something comes in your head and you think, oh yeah, what if he was motivated to do that because that links to that? And you'd never planned it that way, but it's there waiting for
and
you.
And it still works out.
Yeah.
So that is why for me, so both the outlining and sort of like the writing itself is exciting, because I don't plan every single detail out when I outline. Like it's the plot point, right? And it's like I look at the first, so I'm not talking about the outline for my second book in that series. So I know what has happened in the first book. So I know the threats, like the open loops that I need to sort of like talk about and get back to. And then it's like, you know, it's like, yo guys, this is what needs to happen. This is where you need to go. Go do your thing. And then I just write. And so they do their thing.
Do you think we've answered the question?
No. So what I want to ask, because you, before we started recording, you actually said that you don't really have anything unfinished.
I don't, because what I do have is ideas that I've put, and I use Scrivener as well. So I'll open a Scrivener document, I'll call it a name or whatever, and I'll write the idea down. And at some point, I plan to turn that into a novel. But it's not enough at the moment. It's just an idea.
So I'm kind of the same. I'm also not a person. Like, I have ideas, right? And they're just there waiting. And maybe someday I'll pick them up. Mm. And maybe sometimes I don't. I don't get frustrated that maybe I'll never finish this idea, because sometimes that was just a fleeting something and I just write it down and then it's gone, right? And I'm completely okay with that.
But have you ever wrote, like, I don't know, 12 chapters and decided that it's not going anywhere and dumped it?
No.
You see, neither have I. I have got stuff that I've written, but they're full novels, and decided not to publish. I have got that, but I haven't got anything that I've got, you know, halfway through and thought, nah.
Just going to leave this here in a drawer to rot.
Yeah, because it's too hard or it's not going anywhere.
So maybe we just don't have that problem.
No, that's it. So I don't know.
I'm wondering why we don't. Like, I just want to, like, what is it that makes us stick?
I think part of it is knowing how to get unstuck. So maybe we've worked that out.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got halfway through, say, your current book, and you got to a point where you go, do you know what? That's not working. You've still got your characters, haven't you? You've still got your, you know, you've invested into your characters, and then you might redesign the plot, but you wouldn't necessarily scrap it. Well, you wouldn't. You'd have your detailed outline, wouldn't you,
not for this first book. That's why it's taking me forever.
Yeah, but you didn't dump it, did you? You didn't dump
it. And this is the thing. It's like, you know how many people tell me to dump it and just write something else?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, that's not me. Like, I committed to this project a long time ago. And I'm not saying, like, I'm not stubbornly trying to finish something, you know. I really want to tell this story. So I think that's also something that maybe I don't like this, the ideas I have and that I write down, I'm serious about these ideas. So I don't just write down every fleeting thing.
Hang on a minute. Is the story still the same story that you started with?
Philosophically or thematically, yes.
Okay.
But a lot of things have changed. Yeah,
that's what I thought.
And it's still changing because even now, like I'm sort of semi back in research mode because I finally feel like I've got a grip on the whole background of this world that I'm creating. But the idea, the reason I wanted to write it and the story that I wanted to share. It's really funny because I first started thinking about this when I was like 14, right?
Mm.
But all, so after that, I got like into like French feminist philosophy and stuff like that. But it all fits. It all fits that thing that I wanted to tell back when I was 14. So I still want to tell that story. I'm just getting clearer and clearer on how to bring it across.
So we've picked a subject that neither of us have much experience in, that is not finishing books. Although I know it's a really common issue.
I know, yeah. Yeah. But that's why, like, that's why I'm curious, like, what makes us finish? Or
yeah.
And like I said, like, I don't feel like I'm clinging to this novel, right? I'm just, because I have to finish it. No, because I'm very, and maybe this is also something, like, if something isn't working for me, whether it's for now or forever, it's quite easy for me to let it go. So, yes, I do have notebooks with ideas.
Yeah.
And I know that with some of them, I'll never return to that, but I am like absolutely at peace with that.
Yeah.
So maybe it's also not feeling that I have to write all these stories. Because
an idea isn't a novel, is it? An idea is just an idea. And when it becomes a novel, when you put the extra layers in.
Yeah. When you know where it's going to start and where it's going to end.
Yeah. So whether you just write or whether you plan, that's when it becomes a novel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I think we should end there.
Yes. I think it's good that we're both the ones. I think it's really good not to have this challenge.
We might develop it at any time. This is the thing.
Yes. Yes, and maybe we at one point should find someone who struggles with this and interview them and just share experiences and see what that's, But yeah, I do think it's like, it's also the expectations that you have of yourself. If you think you have to commit to all these ideas, like I have ideas like nonstop.
Yeah.
Like if I would commit to all of them, I would not get anything done. So I think it's also about knowing what do I really want to write and what are just like, so just brain, what just hit my brainwave and wasn't meant for me.
Yeah.
I think that's also something. And I'm just really relaxed about that. So I think that helps.
So the question is, does not you, obviously, but do you out there, audience, do you have this struggle, and what's the difference between the novels you've completed and the novels you haven't?
Or short, like if you're a short story writer or a poem writer, you write poetry, same, right? What's the difference, and what does that tell you about why you do or do not finish a story?
Yeah. Okay. Bye for now.
I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter, or visit our website at divinginterwriting.com. We'd love to hear from you, and if you'd like to leave us a review, we'd be ever so grateful. Bye for now.